let's slow down just for a little bit and let's hear what the Lord has to say to us today. Amen. We've been studying about faith, and I was thinking, of course, Ida's not in here now, but Sherman Smith sent me a picture yesterday of right after Ida was born, and I brought her up here, a lot of it because I was just a really proud grandfather, right? But how that, you know, when Jaden told us she was going to have a baby, the baby did not appear, right? But we saw the baby growing. We saw the effects of what was growing on the inside of her. And I brought her up here that when she, from the time that she told us she was going to have a baby to the time that we were holding the baby, it didn't happen the next day. There was 9 months there, or a little bit less than, but 9 months there. But as she was sitting there beside us, she's not an infant anymore. And the Lord really hit me with this. It goes along with the message today, that faith, and we've been studying about that for the last few weeks, faith is not necessarily what we're getting as much as who we are becoming. Ida was an infant. Miss Bonnie, I didn't want her to stay an infant. I wanted to see who she was going to become. I wanted to see who she was going to look like. The way her voice sounds, her personality, who she was becoming. So when we talk about faith, I don't know who I'm saying this for. A lot of times people think, well, this is just about what I'm getting. But what we're going to understand, and after today, I hope you get this in your heart, this is more about who I'm becoming. This is more about what I'm growing up into rather than just what I can put my hands on. So I just want you to get that inside of your mind and get that in your heart. But let's pray before we do. We always need direction from the Spirit. Father, I pray. I know my heart is so full today. You have filled my heart with thoughts and with scriptures. And Father, I still need the anointing just in greater measure. But also for the hearers today. The people that are going to hear these words, Father, they're not going to sit and just listen, but they are going to become doers of the word. I want you to repeat after me. I am a doer of the word of God. So we believe today, Father, that what we hear today is not just words, not just another message, but God, this is what you have for us in this hour. This is fresh bread. This is the daily bread. And we're going to receive it with joy. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Carly, singing for us today. Awesome. She did a great job. And I've got a couple of kids up here that I'm well pleased with. I've been trying to get rid of the word proud. So I'm not trying to sound like a King James Bible when I say that. I'm well pleased with them. And you know, I don't even know why I need to say this, but I don't coach them to do things for the Lord. They do that on their own. And I'm thankful for that. That I didn't have to sit down and say, hey, when you go to church, you serve. They just do. That's just a part of it. And if you don't feel like you're a part, I just want to encourage you, find somewhere and serve. That's right. Find somewhere and serve. Even if it's, I was telling Dylan the other day, when we first started coming here to RCC, I was elated to run the camera. And, you know, there's nothing big. You just follow them around, you know, where they're going and try not to make it real jerky. But I was so thankful. Not that other places we didn't serve or whatever, but that was one of the things that we were taught in ministry is you come into a place, and I know you got to get to know people, and they need to get to know you, but find a place to serve and get involved, and God can do great things in your life. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, and as I said, I hope you came ready to receive. We don't ever need to have the mindset of, I'm just going to sit here and move me if you can. Okay? You need to be prepared. You need to bring your fork and your spoon, your plate. Roy Chisholm always told me, he said, there's nothing wrong with preparing the word for people. But if you have to part their mustache to know where to stick the bottle in, you're failing. We have to be prepared when we come here. Whenever I, even if I'm not speaking, when I pray on Sunday mornings, I pray for Pastor Susan as if I was the one going to be getting up here and delivering the message. I pray that the heavens would be open to her. I pray that the thoughts would come freely to her. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would just give her an extra anointing. And I don't do that just because, you know, I don't just pray for the anointing when I'm speaking. I pray for the speaker. You want to know why? Because it really doesn't matter who's up here. The fact is, the word's being spoken, and we need to hear the word, and we need to become doers of the word. Can you say amen to that? Amen. We've been studying about faith. Have you been enjoying this?
Yes.
I have too. I've really enjoyed it. And people say, well, you're a Word of Faith church. You're going to talk about faith. Well, I don't know how you can't talk about faith when the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. If it's impossible to please God without it, I need to discover faith. It is very important. The Bible said the just would live by faith. They didn't say they'd go to church by faith, or they would live it in church. They're going to live daily by faith. Amen. If you're going to make it in this world, you're going to live by faith. So I want to title this today, we've been talking about this off and on through the series, about the discipline of faith. And I know when you say discipline, all immediately people kind of draw up on you. Because, you know, discipline just means this. Sometimes we don't get what we want when we want it. Right? And we're going to discover that, I'll be getting way ahead of myself here, but or ahead of the Lord. The discipline of faith. Let's go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, Paul talking here. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So when you think about being steadfast, being unmovable, and I know sometimes when we think about the word unmovable, it's like I can't be moved. No, it means this: whenever the Lord places something in front of you and God places a desire or a dream or a goal or a vision in front of you, we don't need to move off of that.
Amen.
Amen. We need to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. The word steadfast, I always use the Strong's because I don't have a Vines, unless it's on one of the computer programs, and I still don't have it because I don't know how to use it. but the word steadfast, actually one of the things was sedentary. That sounds kind of boring, doesn't it? Kind of sedentary. Obviously immovable. But one of the things was being settled. And I'm not talking about settling like having to, well, I can't have the burger, so I'll settle for the bologna sandwich. It's about being settled in your spirit.
Amen.
It's about being calm in your spirit. It's about not, when we say sedentary, we're not talking about a comatose state. We're talking about not being moved. When the Lord shows us something, as we've been talking about faith, when the Lord shows us something and gives us a goal, a dream, or a desire, or something that we're going to do for Him or need to do for Him, we can almost enter into this sedentary place of, I'm just going to believe and watch God bring it into fruition in my life. One of the areas that we're going to discover today, as we have been talking about already about faith, is really what the requirement for us in faith to see things come to fruition is: simply believe. It's not about you jerking the wheel. It's not about you experimenting. It's about whenever God shows you something and puts that in front of you, it's about you not moving off of it and not getting sidetracked by all the commotions in life. Because if you're like me And I know that I'm like everybody else about social media. I know the dangers of it, and we kind of choose to just stick our head in the sand on that, don't we? Still right there back on it, surfing it. And what I'm saying is this, you see a lot of movers and shakers, don't you? People getting stuff done. But here's the thing, if you watch, I'll just use this for example. What pops up on my feed a lot, because I search a lot of it, is like gym stuff or workout stuff, or workout, different types of working out, methods of working out. And what I got to noticing is you can watch one reel and they'll say, this is what you're supposed to do. And then you can watch the next reel and they'll totally contradict what this guy told you. Are you with me? And if you listen to that, you'll be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. You won't know which way is up. And a lot of times when you're so confused, you don't know what to do. And the thing is, you need to find somebody that knows what they're talking about. You've seen the results in their life. And when they tell you something, you just stick with it. And you don't listen to everybody that's talking. When God puts something on the inside of you, friends, you don't need to be asking everybody else what they think about it. I'm not saying we don't seek wisdom on some things, but when God puts that on the inside of you and he backs it up with the word of God, friends, like Roy Chisholm used to say, you can set your face like a flint towards heaven and you don't have to back off of it. And you can watch God bring that to fruition in your life. It doesn't matter what it is. I was praying here yesterday and I got to thinking about our Timothy Project people. And there's probably some of them that would think, I don't know that I would ever be able to stand up in front of these people and to deliver a message. But I want to tell you today, if God put that in you, you may not think right now that you can, but you can trust the Lord and he'll get you there. He'll place people in your life that'll help you, but you have to be willing to say, I'm not backing off of this. I'm going to watch God do this. Because I can tell you right now, I was one of those people. When I felt that drawing on the inside of me, and I was like, Lord, please not this, right? I grew up in a pastor's home. I saw all the details. That's the last thing that I wanted to do, but God began to deal with my heart. And I finally said this, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, you're going to have to be the one to do it. And God began to place people in my life. There were times that I wanted to quit. Amen. There's times that I wanted to give up, but when we stay the course, then God begins. And what I realized, it wasn't about what I was getting. It was about who I was becoming. And what I realize now, this isn't about me preaching. This is about me helping people. What God birthed inside of me was a strong desire, not just to get up here and to feel anointed or to perform or to put on a show, but to pray, God, give me the words that are going to enter into people's lives and that are going to help change them for the better. Give them something that when they walk outside these doors, that they have the spiritual ammunition to be successful in their spiritual endeavors. And that is something that God can do. So it's not about what we're getting, but it's about who we are becoming. But we need to be settled in our spirit when God gives us something. During this series, has it inspired anyone to believe for something? Yes. Amen. Can you raise your hand on that? Has it inspired you to believe for something? Well, listen, you have to ask yourself this question. What came to me? Was it God or was it the devil? Well, if it's good, it was God. If it's bad, it was the devil. This is where people start getting confused a little bit on faith, because they want to practice faith, but they understand faith is a discipline, so they start coming up with goofy things like, well, if you really believe about faith, why don't you believe for your neighbor's wife? Well, that's stupid. You want to know why that's stupid? Because it's evil. God is not evil. He's not going to put evil things on the inside of you. He's not going to put covetous thoughts on the inside of you. He's not going to put things in your heart that's going to make you wish bad things on people. I've heard people say, I want that house. I'm just going to pray that God's going to help them go through a financial hardship so I can buy it. And I thought, that's not God. Now, and I know that hopefully we know this, but sometimes we just have to cover it for good measure so people understand. We're not talking about being goofy. We're talking about things that God puts on the inside of you that is good and pleasant and useful. And it's not just about what you're getting, but about changing who you are. Anybody want to change? Anybody in here got things in their life you want to be different? Absolutely we do. I've got areas right now where I want to become that. Well, who put that desire there? It wasn't the devil. It was God. And if God put that desire there, all I have to do is be settled in my spirit, stay the course, and be immovable on that, and just watch God bring it to pass.
Amen.
Not be subject to change. Webster says it's unswerving. It's firmly fixed in place, talking about steadfastness. It's somebody that doesn't swerve around. It's not about jerking the wheel from side to side, but I'm firmly fixed in place. And I love this part. I'm not subject to change. And we're going to get to this in a minute, no matter how long it takes. We have to stop putting a timetable on faith. Because I want to tell you, and this might curl your religious toenails, 2 years is not too long to wait on God.
That's right.
5 years is not too long to wait on God. And what we're going to discover is 25 years is not too long to wait on God. But I want to talk about steadfastness and faith as a discipline. And when I say a discipline, what I mean is like martial arts. They call martial arts a discipline because it's not to be moved by emotions. You remember, when I was studying for this on the playground, when you would start to get in an altercation with somebody, and they had took one karate class, and I don't know what's the first belt they hand out just for signing up and paying them, but you get the outfit, you know, they bring the white coat and the pants and the belt, and when you got an altercation, they'd say, "I know karate." And what you begin to learn is the discipline about karate is not telling them you know karate. It's them finding out after the altercation, right? It's the element of surprise. You know, it's when they grab your earlobe and you're paralyzed from the waist down. You don't know how they did that. It's a discipline that's not used by emotion like anger or revenge. It's about being able to stand your ground in the face of literal adversity. Yes. It's not about you running around half-cocked. What was the one cartoon? Hong Kong Fu. Y'all remember that one? Was it the Hound Dog or whatever that new karate is? Hong Kong Fu. You don't go around karate chopping everybody. It's about standing your ground in the literal face of adversity. Faith as a discipline helps us the same way as karate's not to be moot. Doesn't mean you ain't going to feel it. You know, when you get angry, you don't have to react. Did you know that? That doesn't mean you're not going to get angry. It just means I don't have to react.
Amen. That's good.
Faith as a discipline doesn't mean that we're not going to face adversity. It just means this: I don't have to react in the face of that adversity. I can be settled in my spirit. I can be almost sedentary, immovable, unswerving, firmly fixed in place, and I'm not going to change regardless of the emotions. Like faith, it helps us not to be moved by things like anxiousness or dread or crippling fear. It's about standing on God's promises in the face of adversity and not backing up. That is the discipline of faith. Because sometimes we develop this mindset that if I believe, everything's just going to work out. And the truth is this: I might hear a word in here and get excited about it, but the next day, when the new wears off, then I've got choices to make. Am I going to stand on what I heard, or am I going to be moved because emotions? I had to wait a whole day. I had to wait 30 minutes. Faith as a discipline, like karate, it's not moved by emotions. We need to hear this. If I'm going to believe, if I'm going to see things come to fruition, if I'm going to see them manifest in my life, I'm going to have to be settled in my spirit that I'm not going to be moved by emotions. I might feel them. Amen? They might come against me. They might be there, but I don't have to be moved by them. Thank you for that thunderous silence. And I know, listen, well, this is about hearing sometimes what we don't want to hear, because what we want to hear is God made that promise and it's waiting in the parking lot for you. Hey, that can happen. Amen. That can happen. I'm not saying it cannot. But what if it doesn't? What are you going to do? Do you really want to see it come to fruition? Because if you do, you're going to say, I'm not going to be moved by these emotions. I'm not going to be moved by anxiousness and dread or crippling fear. And what we're going to learn too here in just a little bit is we're not going to try to help God out. I can believe God for a new car. And I can have a car. I could go visit Robbie. And he could set me up with payments. And I'm not, again, I've got a car payment, okay? I'm not saying that it's wrong to have a car payment. I'm not saying that at all. But listen, if God told you he's going to provide you a car with no sorrow added to it, then you can wait on the Lord, or you can pick up payments. And if you do, hey, listen, I understand. I'm not trying to put something in front of you that we've not all had to live. I'm just kind of using that as an example. There's some people that would tell me God's, and what I'm trying to say is they've told me God's going to provide me this, and then the next thing you know, they're trying to figure out how to do it. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with pay. I mean, I'm not, y'all know what cars cost nowadays. I'm not trying to say that you always got to have faith. That if you pick up payments, you don't have faith. That's not what I'm trying to say. But what I am trying to say is if God showed you that, you can do some things to get it. You can do some things to get it. But if God's going to get it to you, sometimes it pays to just wait on the Lord. He said that he would give you wealth with no sorrow added to it. I want to say this for good measure since I brought up payments, and I feel like I've got to go here. There are some points and some times where God is increasing your faith, okay? I'm having to cover my own tracks. I brought it up. There are times where God is wanting to increase your faith on an area. For me, I would always go down there, and I would just, they'd say, this is the price of the car, this is the financing, and you just, you know what, just sign. And just to make a long story short, God, I was just about to do that. I think I've shared that here before. I was at a certain place, nothing wrong with them, but I was about to sign. That's what the payment was. That's what their interest rate was. That's what the price was. And I mean, he done had all the paperwork, Bob, lined up right there for me to sign. And I was about to sign my name. And I looked up and I said, there's just something on the inside of me said, I can't do this. This is ridiculous. And I know he wasn't happy. He was not happy with me. Oh, he wasn't happy with me at all. But I found a place that not only was the payment more in my area, the interest rate was almost 4 points cheaper. The insurance was cheaper. The gas was cheaper. Now, listen, I have to increase. Do I want to be able to pay cash for a vehicle? You better believe I do. But I'm going to have to take some steps in faith and grow to that process. And sometimes that means listening to the man that, or listening to the spirit on the inside of me that says, don't do that. Don't do that. Did I cover my tracks good enough there? Okay. We can move forward now. So I want you to understand that we got to really not be moved by emotions. I wanted that specific truck. I wanted it to be over. You know what I mean? Sometimes that is about faith. Oh, thank you, Lord. That's about faith, is sometimes we just want it to be over. I want this to be done. Don't you think about when Abraham, when he wanted a son, and I thought it was so funny, you know, Sarah offered up Hagar. There wasn't much rebuttal there. But I bet in both of their minds they were thinking, we'll have this and this will be over. But then God said, that's not it. That's not it. So don't be, this goes back to don't be in a hurry. Let God finish the work. You don't want a bunch of Ishmaels running around. You want the promises that God has laid on your heart, and that takes discipline. Paul Kern said this. I copied it. I wanted to give him credit. He said this, in a world that constantly shifts, God is looking for people who remain faithful, grounded, and get this, and committed to every season. They are steady, even in seasons that don't make sense. Have you ever had God show you something and you're like, there's just no reason why this shouldn't happen right now? I thought a lot about Abraham when God promised him a son. What's the wait? All I can tell you is I don't know. I don't know why. Why did it take 25 years? I don't know. But I do know this, that it was worth the wait. It was worth the wait. And the thing was, Abraham, listen, I don't want to get down on him, because I want people to understand in that account is sometimes we may make some mistakes, but God doesn't disqualify us. Amen. It doesn't mean that he's done. It just means we made a mistake. So don't even, you say, I tried to help God out and I made a mess. Listen, don't quit. Don't quit trying. Do not give up. God can take your mess and can turn it into something great. Amen. This is not about making people gun shy about moving forward on the things that God's shown us. It just means this: if you make a mistake, it's okay. I think God knows we're trying to do right. So don't get down on yourself. But we would also need to hear the word as well. Listen, stay grounded. Stay committed. Stay faithful through every season. Listen, even when it doesn't make sense. Mark 9:23, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And I put in parentheses there, with believe was convinced. If I believe something, I am convinced. Yeah. And I know that I never sat under Pastor Tom's ministry, but I did hear him say that. So when I say Pastor Tom, I'm using that as a reference of respect, okay? But Pastor Tom made this statement, you know that you're in faith. I heard this, and when I say I heard it, I did not hear it with my ears. I heard it in my heart. He said this, faith, you know you're in faith when no one can talk you out of it. I wanted to add something. I can be so deep in faith that not even me can talk myself out of it. Because what we start learning, like I said, it's not what we're getting, it's who we're becoming, right? We learn to distinguish between what's running through my head and what's inside my heart. Did you know I've had doubt running through my head, but I was like in my heart, no siree, I'm not paying attention to that. A lot of people think what faith is just, I don't have any kind of doubt whatsoever in my head. That if that was the case, Paul wouldn't have had to wrote in Romans 12 to renew your mind. You want to know why you have to renew your mind? Because there's things like doubt and angst. And frustration and anxiety that's going to try to come against you. But the faith that's in our heart stands in adversity and says, I'm not giving into that.
Yes. Amen.
I'm not giving into that. So really the whole point, the whole idea that Jesus, when he came to this earth, was to simplify things for us. New Age spiritualism says you've got to start doing all these different things to change your whole life up. And listen, they've kind of hacked God's system. I'm going to I understand that. They've found a way to, they call it manifesting. But when Jesus said, if you can believe it, everything is possible for you. That's simple. And anyways, if you go through the spiritual, New Age stuff, that's climbing over the wall rather than going in at the gate, going in at the door. The Bible says when you go in over the wall and you don't come through the door, you're the same as the thief and the robber. I'm not trying to hack God's system. I'm trying to get in alignment with the way God made me and the way he designed me. Rather than being an angst against God, I'm going to get in alignment with God. And when I find that, I realize this, that God's a creator. And if I'm made in his image, and God is also a faith God, and if I'm made in his image and in his likeness, I'm going to be a faith person. Is that too preachy? All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is be convinced in your heart and not even care what's running through your own head. But let's look at Abraham and David just for a minute. And at this time, he was Abram. And he said, you will be the father of many nations. You will have, or he said, you're going to have a son. He told David, or he said, tell David, he had Samuel anoint David king of Israel. And we may go into these accounts a little bit deeper next week. But you know, when we read these passages, we're just turning pages. We're just spending a few minutes reading. But these men actually had to wait. 20 plus years. I'm not slowing down just for effect. I want you to think about this. Day after day, the promises that God told them echoing in their mind, you're going to have a son. Don't you know that there were some times that Abram said, where's it at? I mean, like I said before, there's a lot of things going on there, and I'm not trying to be funny at all, but they're past childbearing years when this promise is made. You know, I'm thinking about Abram. Not only have I got to convince my wife that we're going to have a son, I've got to convince her of the process. Maybe it's too much thinking on my part. I don't know. I'm just thinking, we're not just talking about waiting on promises. We're talking about two people that in that area of life, most of the time, people are done there. Can I stop there? And you know what I'm saying? Okay. I just want to stop right there. And you know what I'm talking about. But they had to stay committed to that in the face of adversity. In the face of old age, we're just turning pages. They're living days. Like you can almost hear the crickets. Day after day, time after time of trying, 20 plus years going by. And they're having to wait, and they're having to wait. And they're having to wait. David was anointed king of Israel. It took 15 years for him just to become king of Judah. It was another 7.5 years before he became king of Israel. 22 and a half years. We're turning pages. They're living day after day saying, well, Lord, this is what you told me. This is what you said. But they had to stay committed in the face of adversity. As I said, Abram as an old man, Sarah is an old woman, past childbearing years. They had to stay committed. I know that sounds gross, but they had to stay committed in the face of adversity. David is just a shepherd. And when he moves into helping Saul, whenever Saul begins to see the anointing has been removed from him, and he sees that it's on David, and that's just kind of giving the cliff notes there. There's more to that. But when he sees that, now David's got to stay committed to this promise with Saul trying to kill him. He's got to stay committed even in the face of adversity. But from the promise to fruition, there could have possibly been some mundane moments. Just living. I'm trying to get your mind there. God showed you something 5 years ago. And it's day after day after day of just living, breathing, working, paying bills, mowing the yard, washing the clothes, folding the clothes, just going to work day after day, year after year, one day fading into the next, seeming like nothing was happening, wondering how in the world this is going to happen. Have you ever had one of those thoughts? God has showed you something great. God has showed you places where he placed that on the inside of you, and you're asking the question, how in the world is this going to happen? As the Holy Spirit said earlier, faith requires for me to believe, not to figure it out. That's why when we talk about being immovable, almost in the place of sedentary, that means this: we're not settling for something less. We're settled in our spirit until God says this, the fullness of time has come. I can tell you're excited about having to wait on the Lord. But understand this, when you wait on the Lord, the Bible says then you're going to renew your strength. Faith requires for me to believe, not to figure it out. That means this, I can set my heart on believing and I can enjoy my salvation. That doesn't mean I have to sit around going, oh my gosh, when's it going to happen? Is it now? Is it now? Is it now? You will wear yourself out doing that. But if you just say, you know what, God promised it, I'm going to believe him. And if I have to just live like this for 10 years, listen, I've got the hope of that promise on the inside of me. And that is the joy that I have set before me, is knowing I don't have to know when. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I can tell, and I may not know when it's going to happen, but I know this, it's going to happen. Because he said all things are possible to him that believes, that is convinced, that doesn't let anybody talk him out of it. Friend, that is discipline. That is the faith discipline that we need to know. Because there is a world out there that looks at this and says, this is just pie in the sky. But I want you to also understand this, that what I've learned, because I used to be one of those pie, that's just pie in the sky. That's just name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. Friends, I used to think that same way. But what I began, whenever I came into the word of faith and began to hear that, what I understand was, wait a minute. This takes discipline. You want to know why people make fun of this? It's not because they don't believe it, but they don't want to go through the process. You know, when you can't rise to something, did you know you'll spend time just tearing it down? When you can't rise and you can't muster up it in yourself, you'll start spending time tearing it down. And what I found was this, that it's a discipline. But listen, there's a Bible says that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I just wrote this inside my heart. He is the reward. He is the reward. How many times have we read in scriptures, let the God of all peace comfort you? Does peace sounds like a good reward to me? Amen. The God of all comfort. He is the reward. The faith requires for me to believe, not figure it out. And notice that Abraham nor David asked for what God promised them. God put that in them. I've never read in scriptures where David said, I want to be king of Israel. Matter of fact, he was like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm just Jesse's son. I'm the forgotten kid in the back pasture, you know, pelting rabbits and, you know, with my slingshot. But God put that in them. And if he put the desire there, and I say all I have to do, but this is the work, is believe. I have to believe that he will do it and be disciplined not to move off that promise until it comes into manifestation, and stand in the face of adversity, even if that adversity comes in the form of waiting. As we said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, I can't speak for Abraham, David's generation, but our generation, it just seems that there seems to be, you see if you can identify with me here, that there has to be an apex moment every day. Can we go there? And we can blame social media, we can blame television, we can blame a lot of things. But like I said, I'm not trying to, you know, eat your lunch and pop the bag too, but I just want you to understand that, and we'll get to some other scriptures, that waiting on the Lord is not punishment. Waiting on the Lord is not to just put you through some needless test. You got to remember, there are some things that what we're believing for involves other people. And that God has to go and deal with those people. And if they say no, he's got to go to someone else and start dealing with them. So it's not God just swinging over hell on a rotten rope. It's that he is trying to find somebody that will get in a line to, a lot of times, to bring that into your life. But what I want to also get is, stop looking for the apex moments to define who you are. Amen. The movers and the shakers that if, and you know, when you tell people now to wait on the Lord, what they think you're saying is tomorrow. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. Because Dylan and I have talked about this so much in the last few weeks, in just different conversations, is people don't know what to do and they're always hollering, I'm bored. There's nothing to do in this town. Bored. I'm bored. And there have been moments that I have forced myself to sit in silence, because if I'm going to learn how to wait on the Lord, that means this: there's going to be some moments where there's just not a whole lot of things going on. There might be just regular life going on and raising family and kids and things such as that, and that doesn't mean you can't enjoy those things, but if I'm looking for these apex zenith moments, friends, I might be setting myself up for failure. Because I got a witness on the inside of me that said this: apex moments can move us emotionally, but they don't change us. They don't make us who we are. What makes us who we are is the daily bread of God's word. It is about being in communion with him. It is about being, not, I'm not talking about just reading words on pages. I'm talking about communing with God that starts changing who I am, instead of waiting for these big, huge climaxes every day to happen in my life to change me. We can look at September the 11th of 2001. Do you remember where you were? I remember where I was at. And I remember people coming up to me at work and saying, I'm going to be in church Sunday. I've been known for a while, I need to get right with God. I'm going to start doing all this. I'm going to start doing all of that. And listen, emotions are running high. Are they not? At that time. But in about 3 weeks, empty pews. I'm telling you, I remember the Sunday after that, we put up chairs in our church. We could not fit all the people that were in there. But in 3 weeks, it was the same crew. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me in that. And he said, John, big things move people. They move us emotionally, but they are not what changes us. Let's go to Luke 16. We know, this is a lot of reading here. I'm sitting here saying, let's wait on the Lord. Let's start in verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then this is the rich man. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, I thought this is the coldest statement. He said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from the dead, they would repent. Big moments. But Abraham said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded. It didn't say they wouldn't be moved. It didn't say that they wouldn't have an emotional reaction, but he said they would not be persuaded though one rose from the dead. I began to look at that, and I thought to myself, if somebody rose from the dead, surely, I was almost with the rich man, they would believe. That's huge. But what he was saying there was, listen, big moments move us, but they don't change us. Because we are creatures, we are as humans, we are prone to get used to things. It reminds me in the Bible whenever they said Jesus couldn't do very many works because of their lack of faith. He said, except you heal a few sick folk. Like, that ain't no big deal. You want to know why those people got so used to seeing Jesus heal people? It was just another thing. And I'm not trying to rain on your parade, but I want you to understand this. If miraculous healing started happening in here every week, you eventually, that'd be great, huge. We'd probably knock walls out getting all the people in here in 3 weeks. But once we got used to it, it'd be like, well, let's go ahead and go to lunch. There's just folks getting healed up there. What I'm trying to say is we got to stop waiting for apex moments to sustain us. They will move us, but they are not what's going to change us. And I've got this witness on the inside of me as well. The one thing that helps us, that changes us, is when we partake of the daily bread.
Yes.
So what I'm trying to say is when you're waiting on God and you're thinking, if this big thing would happen, then have you ever been one of those to say, Lord, if you just give me this, I'll never ask for another thing? Friend, that is a lie. And I'm not saying that because we're greedy or we're people that are not satisfied. But the reason apex moments don't sustain us is, and I got this witness this morning too. The reason they don't is because we were created beings with creative DNA put on the inside of us. And those things are not meant to sustain us, because even when we get them, God, the creative power that God put on the inside of us is still alive. And you're always going to want to create no matter where you get to. I hope that silence there is you thinking about that. So quit thinking that these things are helping you to become. who you think you need to be, because even when that thing comes to fruition, yeah, it's going to move us for a little bit, and we're going to think, I'll never want for another thing. But after a week, you're like, well, it's just a truck and the parking lot. Now I'm believing for a Raptor. Does that make me a greedy person? No, it's a creative side that God put on the inside of me. But whenever I set my vision on those things, I'm not going to go, oh, it's today. Oh my gosh, it's today. Lord, when are you going to move? I believed for this yesterday. I sowed some seed yesterday and start pacing the floor back and forth. But it's like, Lord, if you put that desire on the inside of me, I'm going to settle my spirit on the inside. And whenever it happens, it happens. I'm going to enjoy my salvation. Amen. This is better than your reacting. But I think what God wanted to get inside of our hearts today is stop being moved by these huge or slow days and just realize when you set your faith on something, if you don't ever get off of it, I may not know when, I may not know how, but I know it is. If I'm believing for it, it may be that relationship. I've seen people, get in a relationship. Let me tell you, it would be great when you got there. But you listen, when me and my wife, we've been married for almost 32 years. And I'm not saying that we're bored with each other, but we're used to being married. You know, the first week was great. But then, does that mean it's not great now? No, it's just you get used to things, right? They're not an ogre. You're just learning who they are. You're just seeing things that you didn't see before. We'll stop there. But you get used to things. I thought if we ever had kids, on cloud nine, I thought I'd never come down, but you know, I love my kids. I love them. But I don't wake every day and fall out in the spirit because I had a son. I got used to that. That's what I'm trying to say is quit waiting for these. You think these big things are going to start sustaining you and helping you become who you are. Friends, what's going to help you to sustain you and help you become who you want to be in Christ is getting in a relationship with Him. And when I say being satisfied, I'm talking about being totally content. The daily bread. Like Enoch, walking with God and letting Him be your joy. Letting Him be your strength. Letting Him be your reward. That doesn't mean you have to give up on those things that you're believing for. It just means let the Lord work that out. Your anxiousness and dread is not going to help that happen any faster. Amen. If anything, it's probably going to slow it down. Now listen, I don't want to make light of people that have been waiting a long time. This is not what this is about. Don't you turn John 16 and 21, and we'll start closing down here. And you say, John, I know that we've laughed a little bit, we've got serious a little bit, but I've been waiting a long time. And I'm not talking about 10 minutes. I've been waiting for years. In John 16 and 21, Jesus said, a woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. Let me tell you something. You may have been waiting for a long time, but when the promise manifests, you're going to forget about how long it took. So whatever you're believing for, whatever you are trusting God for, the discipline of faith doesn't put God on a time limit. It just says this, I'm going to be settled in my spirit, and when it comes to fruition, we're going to celebrate, but also understanding this, there's going to be more dreams. You may, God may help you get past this problem, but man, like I said, I hate to be the Debbie Downer, but you're going to have more problems. There's going to be other things that are going to crop up that you're going to need help. But we don't wait to come out of those problems for God to help us to become who we are. It's just who we are on the daily with Him. All that other stuff is just here or there. But when it manifests, you'll forget about how long it took. That's why Philippians chapter 4, in verses 6 and 7, it says not to be anxious about anything. Well, when it says anything, that means, or actually I think the King James Version says to be anxious for nothing. That sounds like anxiousness is contraband to the believer. You're not supposed to get caught with that behind, right, Bob? You know what contraband is. You don't get caught with that. In the spiritual military, you don't need to get caught with anxiousness. Matter of fact, when you start getting anxious, you need to cast the care of that over on the Lord. And that's not complaining to your neighbor. Did you know complaining to your neighbor is casting that care over on them rather than over on the Lord? We'll talk about that another time. But no anxiousness, and it said, let all your supplications with prayer, or it said, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That means this: I can be believing for things and trusting God for things, but I'm still thankful that I had food today. I'm thankful that I had clothes to wear today. I'm thankful that I have the love of family and friends, that all the things that God had blessed me with, running water, as Brother Ken said today, air conditioning. You know, when it's like this, I just want to take a moment of silence for Mr. Carrier and just thank him for what he did for us, or what he helped us with. But we can believe, but we can also be thankful. And I love, and this is the real closing. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and 11, Paul said this: and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without and that you may have lack of nothing. And I looked at that and it said to work with your own hands. You're still being creative. But I can be quiet in my spirit. I don't have to be full of anxiousness and worry and when's this going to happen. I can just say, you know what? I'm going to do what I know to do today. And that's all I'm going to do because it's all I know to do. And as a famous athlete said one time, he said, I don't worry about the things that I can't do anything about because I can't do anything about them. And he said, if I can do something about them, I don't worry about it because I can do something about it. That's pretty good counsel. Don't you think? So let's stand to our feet. I've got notes strung all over the place up here. And I want us to be I want us to leave today confident. God put that inside of me. God placed that inside of me. He placed that desire. He placed that goal. He placed that vision. And I'm just going to rest in Him. Would you believe that with me today? Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much. If our prayer partners would go ahead and come forward. We thank you so much, God, for the promises inside your word. And we're thankful, God, that we don't have to be moved by time. We don't have to be moved by anxiousness. We don't have to be moved by fear or dread or worry. Because, God, if you put that on the inside of us, God, it will come to pass if we believe. And that you would teach us how to trust in our heart, even when our mind is trying to think on things that are not pure, that are not honest, that are not of good report. And that, God, we would always remember, I can renew my mind. I can renew my mind. I want you to say this with me. My mind is my mind. And it is to whom I give it to. And Father God, I give my mind and my heart to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.